Good afternoon, everyone. Thank Lindsay and Steve for the opportunity to speak again in the church. Thank the Lord for our gathering here today. Before we do start, it just was occurring to me this morning, you know, the opportunity to come to church, to have a gathering like this, to be able to honor and worship our Lord Jesus Christ is a blessing. We used to talk about it all the time, about places in the world where it's not so easy to do so, where meetings and gatherings like this, extensions of the branches of the root, which is Lord Jesus Christ and our Father, God in heaven, are outlawed and have to happen behind closed doors. So before we do start, I'd just like to personally and encourage us all to recognize and re-remember how fortunate we are to be able to discuss the word of the Lord so openly, and to double down on Lindsay's prayer and pray that our hearts will be opened to the lessons that the Lord has given me through his scripture about preparation, about diligence, and about turning to the Lord in times of need. And there are many things in this life that we do need, whether it's someone looking for a place at a specific college or university, a job or promotion in that role, whether it's where your next meal is going to come from, or increased competency in a certain area, whether that be running faster, playing golf better, setting a new PB in the gym, or even if you're just wondering how best to serve the Lord and how you can do that better. There's always something that as individuals we're striving for. And though it might seem quite alien to us now, culturally wise, in Matthew chapter 25, I think the boys will just put the verses up behind me, hopefully down here as well. We read about 10 virgins who are looking for a husband. I'll just run through these verses just now. Perfect, I was just going to say in NIV. So it says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but they did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long, long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." So if we just go back to verses 2 and 3, just the first few verses here, we can see at the very start, it says, Five of them were foolish and five of them were wise. Now when we discuss some of the things that we want, whether that is a place at college or a place at university, a certain job, certain promotion, whether it's to be better at golf, whether it's to set a PB, whether it's to wonder how to serve the Lord. One thing to always remember is that you're very rarely in isolation in seeking out these goals. There's often going to be those who are prepared or work hard for it, and there are those on the other side of the fence, those who aren't. Those who are foolish and those who are wise. And you can see that they all had the same utensils available to them. Same as most in most situations, whether that be time, energy, you know, the same resources are often available when people are competing for the same thing. So how can we distinguish between the wise and the foolish? How do we mark ourselves out from the competition? And what is the difference here between the five who were foolish and took their lamps with them, but did not take any oil? It's like getting a job interview, but not preparing for it. It's like getting membership to a prestigious golf club, but not taking your clubs when you go to play. It's like having the opportunity to speak to lots of people, but not preparing what words you're going to say. We all have the time. We might all have the golf clubs. We might all have the lamps. But it's what we do with these resources that's important. And I think this is the message that, one of the key messages that the parable of the 10 virgins is trying to get across. Now, we all have the same resources, or we might all find ourselves with the same opportunities. But I think it's important also to listen. The Bible doesn't tell us that the foolish ones didn't have lamps, that they didn't have what they might have needed to enter the door. What the Bible tells us is that they didn't use them wisely. And as Christians, we're very fortunate in that we don't walk alone. So that means that sometimes there's often a nagging voice in the back of your head saying, oh, I don't need to go do that. Now, the Bible of course tells us to discern between the good and the bad. But when we do that prayer and we believe that we can hear the voice of the Lord, then it's important to listen to it, because there's obviously something in the fact that these ladies took their lamps with them, but they took them empty. They did not take oil. Isn't it very interesting that they didn't come in absentia? They didn't come without lamps. They came with lamps that were empty. So if you could just pop up the verse from Hebrews, that'd be amazing. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, we get a lesson. And it says, as Christians, it's a message to us. It says, so, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, just as Lindsay prayed before we started, do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. And we pray that we don't harden our hearts. Though there's nothing to prove this, I do believe that there would have been something that if they're prepared enough to grip their lamps and to pick them up, then I have a feeling that there would have been something that would have told them to pick up some oil as well. But they didn't. And I think that maybe there was a voice that they might have heard, or some sensibility telling them that this is what they should have done. But they didn't do it. I believe that, again, if we look back to Matthew, the difference between the foolish and the wise is those that harden their hearts, and those that close off their ears, and those that don't. And I pray that we'll be in the camp of those that don't. I pray that we'll be in the camp of those that open our hearts to the word of the Lord, open our ears to the words of the Lord, and open our eyes to the path that He has for us, and open our lives to the direction that He has for us. So if we can go back to Matthew chapter 25, please, boys. Let's start at verse 2 again. We'll just have a look at them and then flow through. So it says, five of them were foolish and five of them were wise, as we've just discussed. And in verse 3, the foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them, but the wise ones took oil in their jars along with their lamps. Verse 5. And it says, the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Again, another message about it. So we've learned about listening to the word of God and being prepared. But this one is also about diligence and about waiting for the Lord. You know, we often have our own time frame, time scale for things. You know, sometimes maybe we might not be our time to get into that course yet. Maybe the Lord is waiting for a time that you'll be able to use it more wisely. Maybe that job that you want, you're not ready for, and there are lessons that you need to learn before you get there. Maybe if you become good enough at golf too quickly, then you'll become cocky and arrogant, and that's not exactly displaying an attribute of the Lord. But waiting for the Lord, waiting for this blessing that is on His way, doesn't mean that you shouldn't be prepared in waiting for it. There's plenty of time here. And it doesn't say that those that were wise didn't fall asleep. Just the same as those who were foolish, they were subject to the same conditions. They had to wait. And like all humans, even our Lord Jesus Christ became drowsy and fell asleep when He stayed up praying. So we can see here that potential brides became drowsy and fell asleep before at midnight when the cry rang out. And the cry rang out and it said, here's the bridegroom, come out and meet him. Verse 7, please, boys. It says, then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. Now, what I find very interesting in these verses isn't that they all fell asleep. It's not that they all woke up either. They were all alerted by the same sound. However, when they woke up and they all trimmed their lamps, the foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. And I think this is a very interesting way of looking at life, to be honest. As I reflect upon my life, reflect upon some of the lessons that I've learned as a young Christian, as a growing Christian, in growing Christians many years ago, and in the real world as well. Through school, university, work, back to university. What I've realized is that sometimes people will try to use your resource. Remember those things that we outlined, whether it is a place at college or university, or a promotion in a role, whether it's setting a new PB in the gym, or setting a new handicap. There is in golf, whether it's how to serve the Lord, and that can be in terms of, you know, what does God want you to do? There are many, so many roles here, even in our church. Attending is one. Playing beautiful music is another. The sandwiches, the tea and the coffee is another. But these all take time to be able to do. Or money, or practice. And what I've noticed, or a pattern that I've observed in the world, is that the foolish will often want to use your resource, the one that you didn't harden your heart to try to take up. So they can often try to take it away from you. You know, so that might mean when you've dedicated a certain amount of time to practicing a certain skill, that's when the enemy will come and try to divert your attention from it. That's when they'll come with the opportunity to go out and try out a new curry house that's going to put you off the strict diet plan that you've put together for yourself. That's when they'll come with the opportunity to go and socialize rather than spend those hours on the driving range trying to hone your skills. That's when they'll come and say, why don't you not tithe this month? Because you know that you need that money. You can use it this way and that way. That's when they'll come and say, why don't we go out and play football instead of studying? And that's when they'll come out and say, why don't we come and socialize instead of applying for that dream job or putting in the due diligence that you needed to get to the next level? It's always when there's something, a blessing ahead of you, that the enemy will come and try and use the resources that you have listened to God and sacrificed for. Remember those verses in Hebrews. Do not harden your heart. So, from a merely human perspective, you know, you see these foolish ones asking the wise ones to give us some of your oil, because their lamps were going out, because their light was dimming. Now, if we go on to the next verses, we see how a wise person responds when these distractions and these opportunists or opportunities to be distracted come. In verse 9, the answer is no. When you know that you've prayed to God about something, when you know that you've listened to His voice, despite the fact that as Christians, we have an eagerness to demonstrate the principles of the Bible to be reflections of Jesus here on earth, that doesn't mean that every time somebody asks you for something, the answer is yes. We're not yes men to men. We are yes people to God. And saying no isn't mean.